This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 1 March 2019. Well, 2 months have gone by in 2019 already. General market outlook. The major stock indexes continue to test the overhead resistance going toward their November highs, and it looks overextended. It wouldn't be surprising to me to see these indexes come back down and test the 200-day moving averages. The S&P 600 small cap index and the Dow Transports are seeing some resistance at the 200-day lines. So we will see. Gold and silver had a really bad day today. Both were off substantially. Gold was off $20 for the day, ending below the 1300 level, which is sort of crucial on a psychological basis. And silver is off 38 cents back down into the low 15s. Platinum followed suit, off percentage-wise, a little bit less than gold, 1.4%, let's say. And palladium was hanging in there, actually gained $3 on the day. Palladium, of course, has been the star in the four precious metals for the last, well, more than a year, actually. It's been doing it for many months in a row. Kind of moving to its own dynamic. We'll see if this is about the top or not. Time will tell. Coming back to the stock market theme on a global basis, global stocks fall on China weakness, tempered trade hopes. This is from Reuters. Global equity markets fell Thursday. This was an article out on Thursday this week, as weak Chinese economic data and mixed messages of the progress of trade talks between China and the United States weighed on investor sentiment. Earlier news of the collapse of the summit between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korea leader Kim Jong-un on denuclearization triggered flight to quality bids in lower risk assets such as the Swiss franc. So global stock markets are falling off as well. Really, as I've said and say almost every week, the numbers alone really don't tell the whole picture. And anyone that listens to these type of updates is well aware of that fact. What we aren't aware of, or let me restate that, what we should be more aware to watch for is when there is a rollover in these markets. And I want to add something here. I look at a lot of things, and I do go to USA Watchdog, Greg Hunter's channel fairly often. I did an interview with Martin Armstrong recently, and I have to hand some accolades to Martin Armstrong in some ways. First of all, we're probably on the same page as far as the debt markets, the bond markets. These can't be paid off. People move to gold as sort of a government failure type of situation. Of course, I consider it that as well as flight to safety. But what he said was that there'll be a move into a flight into equities. Those are my words, but he was indicating a strong move into the equity market that could go much higher due to the bond failure. In other words, when the debt can't be paid off, and it cannot, and the market recognizes that, then where is that bond money going to move to? I've always contended that some of it will be a run to gold. In fact, I still maintain that position that a lot of it, or a fairly good percentage of it, will make a run to gold, and that will spill over in the silver market. And history's shown that in the past, and I believe that will hold true. In fact, I think it'll be a dynamic that's going to be one for the financial record books, but time will tell if I'm correct or not. But what Mr. Armstrong indicated was that that money will be seeking another avenue, and with that kind of money potentially going into a market or markets, the equity markets is certainly an alternative. So it was an interesting back and forth between Greg and Martin Armstrong, and I really can't rule that out. I mean, I'm pretty negative on the stock market and have been. It's overextended in so many ways by so many measures, but that does not mean it can't go higher, and especially if Mr. Armstrong's contention that the market would seek the safety of not bonds, in other words, of the equity market. So something to bear in mind, watch closely. Markets know more than anybody, and we will see. I think that it's possible we could see a rollover in the bond market and a rollover in the stock market at the same time. But again, time will tell.
The Morgan Report with David Morgan.
There are so many great business books that you want to read or that your friends tell you to read, and you just don't have the time to do it. But now there's an app that I highly recommend, and it will solve this problem for you once and for all. It's called Blinkist, and it has all the famous titles from authors like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, or Seth Godin. Did you know that Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands upon thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them all down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to? Blinkist is made for busy people like you and I, people who want to get the main points of the books quickly without having to read the entire thing. Blinkist has an audio feature that makes it a breeze to finish 4 books a day while you're on the go. Over 8 million people are using Blinkist at this very moment, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, history books, you name it, Blinkist has it. Look, I like Blinkist because when I'm on the go, when I'm working out at the gym or driving, I can read books like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and my personal favorite, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. You got to go to Blinkist. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go to Blinkist.com/Morgan Report and start your free 7-day trial today. That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist.com/Morgan Report, and get your free 7-day trial. Again, Blinkist.com/Morgan Report. You'll be glad you did.
The Morgan Report with David Morgan.
And a quick one from Mish Talk, Ms. Shedlock. Mish does some great work. Only met him once. Interesting guy. Pretty smart as well. Anyway, this is obvious here. This is a recession signaling getting louder. 5-year yields inverts with 3-month yields. I won't read them all to you, but you can see. And what he points out is the yield curve is inverted in 11 different spots. The latest is the 5-year to 3-month inversion. The yield curve recession signal is louder and louder. Inversions are persistent and growing. So I think that's about all we need to know. We've been aware of this, but I think this is a good article, and accolades to Mish Shedlock. You might consider this article a bit of icing on the cake. Max Lavo from When the Stuff Hits the Fan. I don't feature him that often, but this is a pretty interesting article. Global markets are now facing a $12 trillion reckoning. The problem staring financial apocalypse right now in the face is the potential to accelerate the coming stock market crash, which goes along with what I just said a moment ago. A recent report from the Congressional Budget Office has warned that deficits will total $11.6 trillion or 4.4% of domestic gross product between 2020 and 2029, which is far higher than a historical average of about 3% over the last 50 years. The reckoning will come when no one wants to buy that debt, and that time is quickly approaching. And that's the sentence I wanted to point out. Agreed. And of course, this is already taking place. China doesn't really want our debt. Russia doesn't want our debt. A lot of countries are buying a lot less, or ceased buying, or for all practical purposes, ceased buying it. And of course, that leaves the buyer of last resort to be the Federal Reserve itself. And of course, that is what's taking place. And this makes it difficult for the Fed to clean up their balance sheet and sell off some of the toxic waste that they bought during the 2008 financial crisis to put that out into the marketplace and have anyone with any sense at all want to buy it from them. Although they have been trying to, you know, to off some of this and to clean up their balance sheet, it's basically come to a halt. At least that's what they've indicated in their last FOMC minutes. And the way they're talking, pretty dovishly now. So we are facing a time, and it's getting closer. And I know that myself and others like me have been saying this for a long time. But remember, the 2008 crisis was just that. It has not been fixed. And the whole situation has continued to build negative energy, I would call it, into the financial system at large. So at the next time, it's not necessarily going to be able to be rescued like it was during the 2008 situation. And many of you, some are new, of course, are used to me saying that, you know, the numbers in the stock markets do not, in almost any market, bond market, stock market, metals market, you name it, currency markets, really reflect what's really going on in the physical economy. And here's an example of that from Zero Hedge, which I feature almost every week. At a time when global auto sales are grinding to what feels like an inevitable prolonged recession, the world is taking many of its industry cues from China. And basically what this is talking about is that Ford Motor Company is basically taking back a lot of their work and their presence in China. And this is not that surprising. We are seeing a contraction. As I've said, it is a stagflation situation, which means a less robust physical economy and higher prices across the board. Get prepared. Another cue coming from the physical economy. Heineken USA is cutting 15% of the workforce. I mean, a beer company starts cutting back. You've got to consider what's really going on. I say it with a bit of humor because during hard times, entertainment and booze, any escape mechanism, be it alcohol or whatever, seems to do fairly well or better during hard times. And of course, this is just Heineken. It's only one beer company, but I find it interesting. I thought I'd point it out. And one last one, Boots is laying off many jobs. It's the largest employer in Nottingham. You can look it up if you're not familiar with what this company is, but it's a pretty good-sized company. And one more thing to point out, that the physical economy is reflecting a different story than what we're hearing in the mainstream financial press. This is an interesting article about cryptocurrencies. This is cases of money laundering linked to cryptocurrency in Japan up tenfold in 2018. I won't read the whole thing. 7,000 cases suspected money laundering linked to cryptocurrencies were reported to the police in 2018. The figure jumped more than tenfold from the 669 cases reported in a shorter period between April and December 2017, when it became mandatory for cryptocurrency exchange operators to report transactions suspected to be linked to the movement of illegally obtained cash. So there's a pro and con to this whole cryptocurrency situation, and it's continuing to move in both directions, really. See a lot of positive news, a lot more acceptance, a lot easier, new wallets. I mean, a lot of stuff is in the news if you follow the sector. We have been reporting on it on a monthly basis in the Morgan Report now for well over a year, but there's still a lot of unknowns about the whole space. And just a reminder that the March issue of the Morgan Report will be issued this weekend, probably Saturday the 2nd. Of March. This is last month's issue, February's issue, just showing you kind of what it looks like here. Talked about silver as money. I got into a debate with a gentleman from Schmal Gold, Lewis, and I can't pronounce his last name. I don't want to butcher it, but it's an interesting discussion, really. It was pretty friendly back and forth, but I point out in the, during that discussion my reasoning on silver being money. Legally, there's no question about that, believe it or not, but economically. And so that's really the bottom line. I talked about that. Then last month's report, again, this is February's report. The new one is not up on the site yet. We talked about M&A activity and showed a lot of possible takeover candidates. And we're pretty accurate. Last time we did this, in fact, three of them actually came to fruition on what we had projected as far as what the possibilities were for takeover candidates. And so that's it. I'll be back with you next week with another weekly perspective.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.